London calling. David here, and also here, though physically he's in Australia, Keith Baverstock, the Australian creative, adventurer, explorer, entrepreneur, visionary, who over half a century ago founded London Walks, the oldest urban walking tour company in the world. So yes, Keith is here in spirit and on message. It's his words that are the main course of today's London Infusion, the Daily London Walks podcast. As many of you know, we made contact with Keith, the wonders of the internet, earlier this summer, and were able to persuade him to tell us the London Walks story from the moment of conception. How it started, how it all came about. What was it like in the beginning? What led him to invent urban walking tours? I mean, what a thing to have created. What a legacy. Today's episode is chapter 5 in the London Walks story. And reading it over, rehearsing it really, I couldn't help but think, gosh, Keith set the bar high. And 52 years on, Keith's stamp is still on London Walks. What a vision he had. He was so creative, so inventive, so resourceful, so persuasive, so enthusiastic, so full of fun and life and energy. This was a guy who was a difference maker, a make buzz guy, a guy who dared to dream and then make those dreams real. And London Walks today is still, in that all-important way, Keith's London Walks. That young, fun, high-spirited, shot through with curiosity and determination Aussie was the grit in the oyster. London Walks is what it is because of the start he gave it. And so, on to Chapter 5 of the London Walks story. Keith's titled this episode, Attenborough and Me. Here's the story. In 1971, the film 10 Rillington Place, starring Richard Attenborough, was released. With its great cast, it received rave reviews and publicity. Somewhere along the way, one of the London dailies featured an article on Rillington Place. By then, its name had been changed to Runton Close, in the then far from posh Notting Hill Gate, with photographs showing us that most of the buildings in the street, except number 10, had remained. A terrace of houses, all more or less identical to the infamous number 10. I decided it was worth a visit to the scene of the infamous Christie murders to assess the possibility of a walk in Christie's footsteps. The murder most foul Jack the Ripper tours were proving extremely popular and showed that there was an interest in the more macabre stories London had to offer. Most of the houses in the dismal street were deserted, and there was no problem in gaining access to one of the empty houses with their floors littered with rubbish, old newspapers, and who knows what else. Having read various accounts of the infamous John Christie murders and seen the film, it was not hard to imagine bodies being buried under the damp floorboards and in the garden, or rather backyard. To call it a garden would have been a distortion of the English language. In the early 70s, you didn't need local government approvals to organize the tour, or even the approvals of the few remaining residents of Rillington Place, who couldn't really have cared less about a sudden influx of tourists to what was an area well off the beaten tourist track. So, time to cut a stencil at work when no one was looking, promoting a 10 Rillington Place tour, and run off a couple of hundred flyers on the good old Ronio Gestetner machine to hand out on the walks in the lead-up to the tour date. Eventually the day dawned, a rather wet and miserable one, and at 2 p.m. around 50 people had gathered to take part in the tour. Though reading a press article from the time, One woman thought it was the Jack the Ripper tour she was joining. I had been able to get a couple of young ladies from where I worked to be victims and to place themselves in rooms for authenticity, showing where Christie had hidden some of his victims. The tour took around 2 hours, and with 50 people in the house, had shown that there was interest in the more infamous goings-on in London's history. And what about Attenborough? Well, a few days after the tour, I received a call from the BBC, asking if I would be interested in being part of the late evening Joan Bakewell Arts Program, which was doing a review of the film 10 Rillington Place. As an avid viewer, I happily agreed to join the Thinking Man's Crumpet, as Frank Muir dubbed her. In those days, the BBC had money, it seems. They sent a chauffeur-driven car along to where we lived, 50-odd miles away in Sittingbourne, Kent. On arrival, I was escorted to the green room and found that the other invited guests were Richard Attenborough and Ludovic Kennedy. Here was a colonial rubbing shoulders with greats. Thankfully, they, along with Joan Bakewell, made me more than welcome, and the 30 minutes passed quickly, perhaps also aided by the excellent Scotch whiskey provided in the green room. Then it was a 50-mile trip home, sitting in the back of a nice chauffeur-driven car. I only did one 10 Rillington Place tour, using its success and publicity value to add a number of other murder tours of London to our offerings. In 1978, Rillington Place, or Runton Close, was demolished. And that's all from Keith, and just about all from me, David. So, yes, here endeth your London infusion for today, ladies and gentlemen. From London and London Walks, on September 19th, 2020, keep well, stay safe, come back soon.